reading this morning comes from two places in God's Word in the New Testament. I invite you to follow along with the reading of that. The first passage is Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. You'll find that on page 1504 in the Bibles that you have in the pew there, page 1504. And then secondly, a few verses from 1 John 3, verses 16 to 18. You'll find that on page 1901. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19, then to 1 John 3, verse 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Then 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. I guess there's a sense in which you could say that these verses here in Matthew 6 are really a bit about a heart checkup. And if you think it through a little in reading these verses from Matthew 6, they're not that hard to figure out. The obvious issue is that if your heart is where your treasure is, and you want to kind of check out how your heart is doing or what's up with it, then you got to do a little treasure hunt and find out where your treasure is. And of course, Jesus isn't talking about a physical heart. He's talking about the essence, the core of who you really are. The you deep down that others may or may not see. But God sees. God knows. And God is concerned with our heart, because our heart sets the direction of our life and is all about who we are with Him. And because we as people who live in a fallen world can be pretty good at deceiving ourselves, Jesus is giving us this other way to kind of check out our real selves, to have a look at what direction I am going in, the map of my life, as it were, so that I'll get some sense of where I end up if I'm following that map. So I need to ask then, in light of what Jesus says here, I need to ask, okay, then where is my treasure? Because I want to see where my heart is. Where am I really investing my life? And at the beginning of a year that's still pretty young, it's not a bad question to be asking and a bad checkup to carry out. It becomes a way in which we gain perspective on what this treasure hunt will say about us. Some years ago, I came across a striking devotional by Chuck Swindoll. This morning, I'm using the outline in one story that Swindoll also uses to get at a little different way at what Jesus is saying here. And what I want to begin with in looking at that is a quote of someone named Alexander White. And White wrote of our tendency to, quote, hang very heavy weights on very thin wires. To hang very heavy weights on very thin wires. Now, I don't know the exact context in which White said this, but it struck me that the quote speaks to what Jesus is saying. What are we, what are you, what am I hanging our treasures on, the important things in life for us? What is it that life really means to me, and how do I work with that? Well, Christian leaders, of course, have been writing about that over the years and pointed to all kinds of things that we invest our hearts in. For instance, we can hang the very heavy weight of our happiness on the very thin wire of our health. But to hang our happiness on our health is a pretty risky thing. I mean, you ask someone who's gone through a test for a biopsy, has had to face negative results that have come back, and the treatments that it has meant will follow. You ask someone who's had heart surgery, who has the scars that you don't see so much of, but you know and can see how it's affected life and life change for that person. You ask someone who's gone through the dark and lonely valley of depression or mental illness for themselves or someone who they love, or lives with the effects of diabetes or with the sure and steady progress of Alzheimer's, and you will find those people here this morning. And when you go through that, you recognize that health is not guaranteed and health is not all there is to life. And if you're hanging your happiness on the wire of health, then you are hanging a heavy weight on a thin wire. And that wire can snap at any time, and then your treasure will drop. And then what? Or we can hang the heavy weight of our life's meaning on, or motivation on our children. That's a high-risk investment too, as some of you know all too well. You just ask someone who's lost a child. Someone who's lost a child, not just to death, but someone who may have lost also a child to the faith in which that child was brought up. Or has lost a child to another relationship, a good relationship, but a relationship that takes the child not only out of the home, but perhaps out of the town or community, and even out of the country. Lost a child to another set of values, or lost a child to the hopes that we had held so strongly for her or him. And we know that to hang our life's meaning or motivation on our children is to hang a very heavy weight on a thin wire. And that wire can break, and then what happens to your treasure? Or we can hang the very heavy weight of contentment on the thin wire of what we own. Contentment on what we own, and we know better. And we can say the right kinds of things about all that, even quoting the Bible, and yet, if we're honest, we know that we still do it. We convince ourselves that life, real quality life, is actually shaped by the stuff that we own. And how well we are doing compared to some of the others that we know, or compared to how we were doing 10 years ago. And we agree with the Bible. When we read just a little further on in Matthew 6, where Jesus says, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." And we say, amen, preach it, Jesus. And I don't think yet at the same time it would be a very hard guess if I would say that my guess is that not many of us, if any of us, would be content to live like the lilies of the field. In fact, if we had only a few changes of clothes and just enough money to wash them and dry them and replace them when they wore out, we would probably have a lot of trouble being thankful. And all it takes are some thieves or a fire to destroy your home or business, or a war where everything gets bombed, or a flood or a tsunami or mudslide, and the wire snaps. And you realize that you can't hang something heavy like contentment to a wire as thin as the stuff that we own. And we can also hang the very heavy weight of our security on the thin wire of our savings. We figure we can secure our future if we save enough, if we invest well and look after ourselves, even if it means that we give significantly less than 10% to the work of the Lord. And that, God's Word points out, that is where most of the time we seem to run into the danger of tending to have our treasure, which is where then we would find our heart. We tend to collect and to keep and to worry. And we can forget the biblical perspective that all that we have is meant for us as God's servants, as stewards. That God doesn't give us the stuff that we have simply to save for the future and gain security. That God doesn't simply intend for us to do well if we're doing well. But God intends for us to set priorities. And to pursue those priorities, whether we gain or whether we don't. You see, that's why the verses in 1 John are so significant. Because they help give a bit more perspective to this heart check that we would do. Did you hear what they said? If anyone has material possessions, that would be us, and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? But it's not just pity. Not simply some emotional compassion we may have when we see the pictures or read the stories. As good as that might be, John goes on, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Now, I don't know where that is for you, because I don't know you. And you don't know me, at least not in some of these heart things. But as I reflected on this, it reminded me of kind of the odd thing that the more thankful I am for anything, the more I have to ask if that may be then where my heart is. And that's what Jesus wants us to look at. I don't know if you heard of Yusuf, known as the Terrible Turk, who needed that reminder two generations ago. He was a 350-pound wrestler who won it all in Europe before he decided to come to the United States to grab more glory. And so what Yusuf, the 350-pound wrestler, did was he challenged someone by the name of Strangler Lewis, an American 200-pound wrestler, champion wrestler. So they got at it, and the Turk tossed the Strangler around like a teddy bear and won the match. And then the new world champ picked up what he loved the most, money. $5,000 in it, but he didn't want a check or cash. He wanted it in gold. And so he took that gold and he crammed it in the money belt that he wore around his huge waist before setting sail back to Europe. And somewhere out on the seas, the ship began to sink. And Yusuf went over the side with his bulging belt full of gold, still strapped around his enormous frame. And the added weight was too much, even for the Terrible Turk. And before the lifeboats could get to him, he sank to the bottom and was never heard of again. And the wire of savings, very securely invested in precious metal, snapped. And his hope of security drowned with him. And we know it's not new, but it's true. The very thin wires of physical health, of family, of the stuff that we own, of the financial savings we may have, and you can add to the list all kinds of other things as you go on your treasure hunt. Our career plans, our civil freedom, our democracy, all things we can be very thankful for, they can never be the kinds of things on which we hang our hearts. And you see, that brings us back to the question of the text, which is so simple and yet so profound. What are the wires you and I are hanging things on? What is it that I've convinced myself that if only that would happen, or I could get this, that then life would be okay and where I want it to be? Where is my heart? Where do I spend my time? Where do I invest my energy, my emotions, my thinking? Even if I'm very thankful for all of that, where is my treasure? And that's why God sends us and reminds us of the instruction of His Word. In the same chapter, Matthew 6, He ends up telling us that we are to be the followers of Jesus Christ who are to seek first His kingdom and its righteousness. And all the other things will fall in line when that's where our focus and our following is centered. And sometimes the way we discover how that's working in our lives is not to look at our confessions or the songs that we sing, or the theology that we claim and can write well and put in books that we keep in our churches and homes. But the way we find out is to look at where our heart is. What we're hanging our values on. That means that still early on in a new year that has just started, it's good to be hearing again of what the foundation of this is all about and ought to be about. And that's the reminder that there is only one place that we can really hang what is of value. Only one place, God says. And that is on the wire whose strands are made up of Christ and His work and His kingdom. Only the wire whose strands are made up of Christ and His work and His kingdom. Because only when our hearts are really hanging on Him can we find happiness when our health fails. Only then can there be meaning when children go or parents die. Only then can we find contentment when we lose the stuff that we have. And only then can we find security even when our savings lose their value. The wire of Jesus and the kingdom He is building, because that wire will never snap. Then on a bit of a side note, you know what's so neat about God's economy? How God Himself works with this economic principle and what this means? God tells us, again and again in His Word, God tells us that we are His treasure. You and I are God's treasure. You and I are where God's heart is. And God wants us to live. And God wants us to survive. And so God tells us that we've got to hang our lives, our very selves, our souls on Jesus Christ, because anything else will eventually snap. And so God does it. God gives us Jesus as we celebrated at Christmas. He gives us the death of Jesus, as we'll celebrate again, and He gives us the resurrection of Christ and the promise of the return. In His grace, God does what He calls us to do. And he hangs us his treasure on Christ. He puts us on the secure wire of his Son and his kingdom so that we may live. God puts his money where his mouth is. And he wants us to put everything there as well. And the more we understand that connection between heart and treasure for ourselves, the better we will grasp how it works for God and why it is that we are so precious to him and what that means. So January 10, 2010. Regardless of how the year has gone for you so far in good ways or how tough it may already have been in difficult ways, the question is the same for each one of us. Where is your heart? Are you hanging? And not just biblically or theologically or Sunday worshiply, if that was a word. Are you really hanging your life and every part of it on the wire of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if God would ask, would you be able to serve him meaningfully and happily by giving it away for him? I mean, you think it through a little bit. Whatever you have entered this year with that you are very grateful for and value deeply, could you give it up for the work of God's kingdom? Give it all for that work and still rejoice and trust and move on gratefully in the rest of this year, 2010? You see, and your answer to that is an answer about your heart. Because where your treasure is, and that's the word of the Lord. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongues, but with actions and in truth. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. You see, hearing God's word, then again, I want to encourage you to pray about that. And to reflect on that and to take time to listen quietly to the leading of God as you reflect on these things. Not simply about stewardship or about health or about children, but about a real honest heart check in your life and where it is today. And then to celebrate that when our hearts, when our treasures are hanging on Christ and His cause, then we have everything we need for life and in death. And all the rest will fall in line because you are richer than you think. It's true. Thanks be to God for His gift in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.